to teach one more lesson, and we're going to get out here and be able to go home. And I love ladies' meetings. I said it last night, but I just want to reiterate to you that I think they're so important to us. Getting away and checking out our attitudes and looking at ourselves honestly and saying, what could I do to improve? You know, that I even as I was sitting there, I was thinking, now what can I do better? You know, and I'm always making decisions and I write them down because I want to be a teachable person and I want to still be growing and learning. And so we're going to have one more lesson about watch out, she's going to blow. Watch out, she's going to blow. Now, I have a Bible study that I've written. I've never got it in print yet, but I'm going to one of these days called Watch Out, She's Gonna Blow. It's a 6-week Bible study. It's got 7 lessons every Sunday, and then it'll have 6 little lessons in between, and then so it's for people to use for a Sunday school class or for a ladies group, whatever you want to do. So, and the premise began when I was in college. Brother Howes taught a thought that if you don't want to get immoral, he said, stay as far away from immorality as possible. What he meant by that was he said, like, don't ever be alone with the boy that you like, you know, because then if you're not alone with him, you won't kiss him. And then don't ever kiss him, because if you don't kiss him, then you won't ever be immoral before you're married. So he taught that. He said, stay as far away from it as possible. So in my mind, there are good angers. We all know that, you know, be angry and sin not. You know, there's times that you're supposed to be. But most of the anger that we feel and do is not good anger. You know, it's anger that ruins the spirit of the home. It's anger that hurts us. It's anger that makes us leave a church when we're supposed and leave God's will sometimes. So in my Bible study that I did, I said to myself, now what can I do to keep myself from ever getting to anger? I think there's steps to anger. The first step, I think, is impatience. I think when we have impatience with other people, that it lends us toward going toward anger. Then the next step I taught on last year was irritation. When you're irritated with people, when you let yourself get irritated, you know, that's then the next step, I think, is when we do have anger, and that's when you blow up and you do things that you shouldn't do. So impatience in a moment of anger saves 1,000 moments of regret. So if you have patience in a moment of anger, it'll keep you from having regrets. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to keep yourself from having regrets by learning patience. You say, oh, don't talk on patience, because, you know, everybody says if you talk about patience, you know, don't pray for patience because then things come. I don't believe that. I just believe things are going to come no matter what. But I'm going to talk to you today about being an impatient person. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. This last lesson, let us get something, Lord. I don't know what you have for us. I know that you've led me to do this, and I pray that you'll bless it and help the ladies to get one more little nugget that'll help them find that treasure when they get home. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Patience with circumstances. Let me just say this. Things are going to happen. But the word impatience is really, in my mind, a form of unbelief. You know, it's not trusting. It's what we feel when we wonder about the wisdom of God's timing or the goodness of His will. Impatience can be a little squirmish over a long wait in a checkout lane. Anybody there with me? I tell people, I'm a talker in lines. You know, I just talk to anybody that's around me. I just talk to them. My little granddaughter is also a talker. Just like, I've been talking a little bit about her to y'all. She's 4 years old. And she's traveling with us now, and I was in line at a thrift store, and there was a lady that got behind me in the line, and my granddaughter looked at the lady, and she looked at me, and she said, Mimi, she says, why does that lady have jewelry in her belly? What do you say when a child, and she doesn't talk softly, you know, she's, what do you say when a lady has a jewelry in her belly? And I said, well, why does she have that in? I said, because she's rich. That's what I said, because she's rich. And she said, but putting it in her belly? And I said, well, that's just what she wants to do. I didn't know how to get the girl to stop. You know, the lady was right behind me, you know. And I, so then, and I'm wishing that line would go, move, you know, anything to get me out of this situation. And so then she looks up at the lady and she said, you know, that lady's really pretty. Yay. I finally turned around because I thought, why isn't this woman saying something? You know, she was not pretty. No. You know, she was dressed very oddly. And I just looked at her a little bit and kind of give her this little smile. She didn't even smile. I thought, maybe she's deaf. You know, she didn't hear it. But anyway, so I'm walking out the door and this man comes up to me and he says, I like the comment about the belly. Thanks a lot, buddy. But anyway, oftentimes when I'm in a line at a store, I'll say, let me just warn you, don't get behind me because something always happens. You know, I just think that it's going to run out of paper, you know. Somebody's going to not have something that's priced, you know, all these things. There's one great thing about self-checkup. It's your own fault. You know, when you're in a self-checkout and if you don't have the price, you're just doomed because there's nobody going to help you. That's for sure. So lines, heavy traffic. Recently, we were going from Indianapolis, Indiana to Columbus, Ohio. And it should be an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, you know, in our rigs. It turned into 4 hours. There was traffic because of construction and all that. And I'm sitting there and what do you think when traffic is that bad? You know, it's happened to us many times over these 34 years. You can't travel 25,000 miles a year and not have traffic problems, right? And so, what do you think? I'm just thinking, and now, Lord, I wanted to get there by this time so that I could get in bed by this time. You know, I was just telling the Lord all these things, and all of a sudden I said, you know, I just got to go with it. Started playing music to try to give myself patience, you know. But circumstances can make you impatient, right? What else can make you impatient? Yourself. Any of y'all get frustrated with yourself? I am who I am. And I am too old to change some things. You know, one of the things that I keep saying, Lord, I wish I could overcome this. And if, maybe Miss Verna, if I really wanted to, I could, but I have a problem of going too fast. Okay. And my other problem is when I wear these big dresses, you know what I mean by big dresses that got all this material in it? And I go to the bathroom, I get up, and I go out the door, and I show myself everywhere. It just happened last year. I was in the Portland, Oregon airport. I had gotten to the, and I always want to go to the restroom before I get on the airplane. How many of you don't like go to the, oh man, you know, those little tight little things. And I heard a horror story where somebody, woman got sucked into it. Mrs. Evans told me years ago, you know, that the suction, and I thought, oh, that would be the most embarrassing thing in the world to get sucked onto the, oh, anyway. So I went to the restroom and it was time to get on there and I'm I'm so goofy. There's no other word for it but goofy. So it was this skirt, by the way. And I'm not going to do it because the men are back there. And besides, you don't want to see that anymore. So it was the bottom of the skirt was tucked way in here, you know, and I'm just sashaying down the aisle, you know. Walking down there, and there's a man and a woman behind me. And all of a sudden, I feel breeze. Now, they didn't blow or anything like that. But a breeze. And I did what you would do, like that, and I just, and I, this is what I did. I looked at that woman like, why didn't you tell me? You know, I don't care if you don't know me. Come and tell me I'm mooning everybody. So I yanked it down like that. And what do? You know, how do you save yourself? I just sat down. This morning when I, got dressed and all that, I went and I looked in the mirror and I said, I gotta start checking this. You know, I just gotta start checking this. But do you get frustrated with yourself about, do you think, get impatient with yourself? You know, you just wish you could change something about yourself that is embarrassing to you. You know, I just go too fast. The other night, I got in the bed over there at that thing, and I didn't use the top sheet. I just put I woke up in the morning and I said, this felt a little funny all night. And I looked, and I didn't do the, it's because I just go too fast. Or I don't turn on the lights to look. How many of you are not light people? You're like me. I don't turn on lights. My husband comes home, all the lights in the motorhome get turned on. Everything, you know. All the window shades get open. But, you know, one light's good, you know. In that apartment, in that home over there, which is such a nice place. I love being able to stay on property. Can I tell you that? I just turned the little lamp on there. You know, and if I had put on the big light, maybe I noticed that I didn't get the sheet too. But I woke up and I thought, Loretta, why don't you slow down? And then I think, how could I? I got too much to do. You know, but it's easy to be impatient with yourself. You know, anybody thinking of something that you do that you think, I wish I could overcome it? Anybody like that? Oh, good. I'm glad you understand me. I got a few people out there. How about your impatience with others? Can I tell you, our expectations have got to be drawn down. If we're going to live with people, we got to have no expectation. When you go home today, just expect the house to look a wreck. The dishes will be piled up in the sink. You know, I know you left a list. Nobody paid attention to that list. There is nothing been done. That's how you can be patient. You know, it's not going to be done. Now, let me say this. With my impatience with other people, and especially with those that I love the most. You know, it's the ones that we love the most that we expect the most out of. They know us. You know, I don't think Kevin should ever ask me what I want to drink. You know, he should know what I want to drink. You know, but he will ask me, what do you want to drink? And I think, why do you? Okay, so when he says to me, what do you want to drink? This is what I have learned. The power of the pause. Okay? Doesn't James say, be slow to speak? Right? Right? So, the power of the pause. See, if you're as fast as I am, my mind just clicks. I mean, it's fast. I just spit things out. I say the wrong things at the wrong time. I can. But with Kevin, when he asks me a question that I think is a dumb question, you know, I just hesitate for a second so I can get my mind under control. Because James says, be slow to speak. You know, I really believe with our loved ones, we ought to be slow to speak. Because then we'll think through what we're going to say. It'll come across so much better. And we will not regret our conversations. You know, we've got the power of the pause. Some of you all need to learn the power of the pause instead of just spewing it out, instead of just saying what you want to say. Now, I want to explain to you the opposite of impatience is patience, which is defined by Webster's 1928 in the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontentment. Oh, now that. I didn't mind all the rest till it got to without discontentment. You know that I'm in a patience zone right now? I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting for some healing to come to my daughter. And can I tell you, it's really hard to wait. I want to click my fingers. Those of you that are going through grief, I know you like to just click the finger and this is beat over. But patience is waiting. And remember what I said? Impatience is a form of doubt or unbelief. So when I'm not patient, when I'm not saying, okay, Lord, the Bible says in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. I want you to open up to Romans 2, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, I want you to read this with me. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Another verse is about patience, okay? Romans 2, verses 6 through 10. On the count of three, one, two, three. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. You see that there? But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. I'm teaching you a truth today about learning how to be patient. And it's from, I'm trying to use the word God. I'm going to use more verses with you. And I said to you that when you are not patient, you are, it's a form of unbelief. I think it's doubting God. Everything that happens to us is from God. Hebrews 6:12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says there, when we're patient, we will inherit the promises. I remember, I don't know if, when I advertised the book, Possessing Peace to People, I always tell them that when I was a little girl and I'd look out windows and I'd say, is there any place ever, anywhere where you can have peace? Because our home was in such turmoil. And I remember thinking, oh, I want peace. And I want peace still in my life. And sometimes that peace will come by me learning to be patient with my circumstances, myself, and with others. In the Old Testament, I believe the way to have patience in the Old Testament is four words. Wait on the Lord. That's how you have patience. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. When I use the word hope, I think of it as a future faith. I'm having faith that this is going to happen, that he's going to make this happen. I've got hope that this is going to happen. And I don't get ahead of the Lord and quit on him. Patience is hope, and the source of hope is the word of God. Resting in his promises gives you the right hope. You know, I know that your story is so vivid in my mind right now, and all of us been there where we were asking God to do something. Last year, my daughter traveled with us for 3 months. I've told some people in our sessions, and we had to move her in and out of hotels and prophets' chambers and et cetera, et cetera. And it was expensive and hard and all that stuff. And so in November, she told us that she wanted to travel with us, that she didn't feel like she could stay home in that big house with two little girls all by herself. And so she felt like the Lord would have us travel with us. So we started praying for the Lord to give us the money to buy her a rig. We thought we'd have to go get a loan. We don't have any credit. We don't have any loans on anything right now, but we thought maybe that's what we'd have to do. So my husband and her started looking for trucks and trailers. First they looked for motorhomes, then they looked for trucks and trailers. And eventually my husband found a truck, an F-350. You got to know this. My daughter loves Fords. She loves a Ford F-150. Do you know why she loves them? Because they have all these drink holders in the front. It's important, you know. That's important to her. Isn't that funny that God thinks what we think is important is important? So anyway, so whenever Kevin found this F-350... And it's one that's got big hips. Do you know what I mean by big hips? It's when I drive anywhere, I say, I got to find a good parking place for this big hip, these big hips on my truck, you know. And so they found the truck first. Then through a series of circumstances, I don't want to tell you the whole story, but through a series of circumstances, we heard about a trailer that was a Travel Supreme. When we had our wreck in 2004, it was a Travel Supreme. And It was the right size. It had, Jeannie and I were praying for specific things for the trailer that we thought would be, she wanted a bathtub. Most trailers don't have bathtubs. You just walk in, you know, but because she's got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, we wanted a bathtub. And we also prayed for a washer and dryer because with a 2-year-old, she still wears diapers and she can have accidents and problems and be nice. She could come to my rig and wash them, but she wanted her own washer and dryer. So those two things are the things we prayed for. This trailer that a man told us about, it was a Travel Supreme and it had a washer and dryer and it had a bathtub about this deep. And so we found this rig in November and Kevin and Jeannie go to look at it. And I'm thinking, you know, while they're gone, I'm keeping the two little kids at home. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know why they're going. We don't have the money. I don't know how this is all going to work out, but you know. And see, patience is hoping that the Lord's going to come through, hoping that he was going to take care of this. So they look at the truck. Yeah, that's good. They told the man they'd like that. We gave him a $500 deposit on it. And I'm thinking, I don't know whether you lose deposits. I don't know anything about this, but we Venmo'd him $500. And I just did whatever Kevin said, hoping he knew what he was talking about. But anyway, so then we got they went up to Wisconsin then and looked at this trailer. And it seemed like it was old. It's 20-some years old, but it seemed like this would be great. So then they're on their way home. And Kevin had the name of a man that said, if you do decide to get something for Jeannie, he said, call me, and he said, I'll see what I can do to help you. So Kevin calls the man while on the way home, because he told those people that he wanted that trailer too. He said, I found this, and this is the deal, and this is the deal. You know, all that. He told him all the money stuff, and the man said, okay, go ahead and go get it. So Kevin was going to go, you know, stop and go get it, you know. But he said, what do you mean by go get it? What does that mean? You know, are we going to have to go get it? Yeah, we didn't know, you know. And so the man said, I'm going to pay for every bit of it. $50,000. 39 for the truck and 10 for the, I'm thinking, I still can't get over it. Can you see my mouth is still wide open? Wow. I don't have $5. You know what I mean? I don't have $50. You know, we don't have any savings. I didn't know this man was a man of me. You know, we just didn't know. You know, when we were traveling in September, he met us and he said, you know, if you do decide the Lord wants her to, wow. See, we had to wait though and be patient and let him show the way. So that was what hope is. Hope is faith for the future. You know, he went and looked at the truck and looked at the trailer in faith that God was going to take care of that need. The children of Israel were plagued by Assyrians over and over again in the Old Testament. Usually they go to a prophet to see God's will for them during the next siege. In Isaiah 30 verses 1 and 2, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. They didn't go to God. They just went on their own being. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to go into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of him. So God got upset with them. Woe unto them, because they aren't trusting in me. See, when you're patient with yourself, I mean, I really believe I'm supposed to be patient with myself. You know, and I think there are some things I'm going to go to the grave with. You know, maybe we should tuck my skirt in when I'm in the casket. I don't know. If you come to the funeral, suggest it, Verna. You know, that's just who you are. I mean, I've not done it just once. I've done it in McDonald's in Indiana. I could list like 15, 20 places that I've done it. I was in a music store one time. You know, Sam Ash, you know, with all the rockers in there, you know, and I asked him if I could go to the restroom. I went to the restroom, and this boy had to escort me to the restroom. And then he had to wait to bring me back out. I don't know, with locking the door and all that stuff. And I thought, well, this is like high security, you know, like that. So I come out, and yes, sure enough, you know, I had my skirt tucked in. This young teenage boy that was a rocker was walking around, ran along with me with my tutu showing. You know, can you tell how impatient I feel with myself? You know, and I can't wear straight skirts all the time. I'm a pear. You know what I mean? I'm a pear. But anyway, so I'm going to quit giving all these details. These boys are getting embarrassed back there. So the children of Israel, they didn't wait. They just went on and did their own thing. You know, there's something to be said about you praying faithfully for those months. You're just saying, that's what it takes. The same thing happened to Sarah in Genesis chapter 16. I know all of us give her a hard time because she took things into her own hands, but I think I would have done the same thing. Because I'm human, and you're human, and that's why you're impatient. Now, when we say rest in the Lord, when we say wait on the Lord, we're talking about resting and waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 30, verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Isaiah 30, verse 18. You know, God will bless you if you wait for him. Isaiah, of course, one of the best known verses for waiting on the Lord is Isaiah 40, verse 31. If you know it, say it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Then Isaiah 49, verse 23. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Isaiah 64, 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now, how do you wait on God? Some of you are in the midst of a storm, and you're waiting on him. You're at the house stage where you say, God, I've been asking, and you haven't done it. But can I say this? You got to keep waiting. Resting in him and waiting. And I promise you'll see victory. It might not be the exact answer that you wanted. I don't know how to explain all the miracles that I've seen in our 34 years of ministry. I can't to even explain all of them. It'd be hard. But there were times when we asked and didn't receive. But that's okay. Patience is faith. You don't have doubt. You know for sure God's going to take care of it in the way that's best, in the way he wants to. And that's what we want you to do, ladies. We want you to leave these doors and have a new understanding of your God. Amen. He wants to take care of you. He wants to be real to you. You just got to be aware that he's always there. He wants to help you with all your troubles. He wants you to know that he is always with you. Some of you didn't grow up like I did with a daddy or a mama that nurtured you and know how to care. God wants to do that for you. It's available for you. But you got to be willing to wait. Have patience. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for the chance that I had to share this thought about patience. I'm not going to belabor it, but Lord, I pray that you'll help the one out there that's waiting on something. She needs to rest in the Lord to wait on him. Would you please help her to get a vision? Tell her to grasp one of these verses, to hang on to it and use it in her life for the next few weeks until you show her what she needs. Now, if your head's bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, God has spoken to to my heart about my impatience with my circumstances of life. And I'm going to ask him to help me to be willing to wait. Help me to show me how to wait. Give me the strength to wait. Anybody like that? You got circumstances you need to wait on him with. Wonderful. Put your hands down. How many of you say, you know, Loretta, I get pretty impatient with myself. And I shouldn't. And I can see that I just need to be patient with myself. And cut myself some slack in certain things. I'm not talking about sin now. I'm not talking about going into sin. I'm talking about just patient with yourself, being kind to yourself. It's a wonderful thing to be nice to yourself. Anybody like that, you say, I need to be a little more patient with myself. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, how many of you say, I've got some people in my life that push my button. And I need to learn the power of the pause. To be able to be patient with other people. Anybody like that? You got somebody in your life? All of us do. We got people that are opposite personalities of us and we don't understand them. Now, this is the time. We're going to have a little invitation. We've got a pianist up here. This is the end of it. This is the end of the conference. This is the time where you say, Lord, I'm going to pick one thing I'm going to go home and work on in my life. In that marriage session I just did, I said, don't try to do all three of these things. You can't accomplish it. Just pick one of them. You know, and then really go home and work on it. Some of you, you need to pick out something that Faith talked about. What about renewing your faith and what you believe. You know, about praying for something. About whatever it is that God has spoken to your heart about. Maybe in a split session. Maybe it's about being a better Sunday school teacher. You know, bringing, we've been challenged by several people about being a better teacher by bringing toys and making life more interesting for your class. Whatever it is that God has spoken to your heart about, think of it right now. What is that one thing? Then we're going to stand. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to let you have a chance to come down here and pray about that. And show, ask the Lord to help you to be able to go home and do whatever He's put in your heart right now. Father, thank you for these ladies. I pray, Lord, you'll help them to go home and do it, whatever it may be, whatever you've taught them and pointed out to them in this meeting. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please stand. Come down. Use the altar.